What's up, everyone? It's a huge edition of a WrestleZone post show right after AEW Dynamite with Shaq Attack of a table. That's right. He was Shaq Attacked through a table himself. Shaquille O'Neal went through a table just days before AEW Revolution. And WWE NXT had another big overrun with another big match featuring Finn Balor. And a huge title match for him is made next week. The Undisputed Era is no more. And could NXT be moving off of Wednesday nights? We'll get into all of it, and you can get your comments on screen. If you haven't shared the link, I'm pretty sure, especially if you're watching live, that you are indeed the one who stinks. What's up, everyone? I am Kev Kellum. Go ahead and hit the like button. Support the show. If you're with us live for the first time, get your comments on screen. Don't sit there and say you know what's going on if you can't put it out there. With a freshly sheared here, John Clark, Central Pennsylvania. I'm Kev Kellum. John Clark, you cover NXT. I cover AEW. That's pretty cool. Thank you to DJ for sharing the show. I just saw that as well. Go ahead and tell us your thoughts on tonight's AEW and NXT, where you think both shows are. Obviously, AEW had a little bit more weight on their shoulders tonight going into a pay-per-view. That is the traditional pay-per-view cost tonight. NXT obviously has some different things going on, which are all just speculation, reported rumor, but nothing confirmed, right? And obviously, we're following that at WrestleZone.com. Plenty to get into. And if you haven't done it already and you're just catching one of our live streams, you guys can also get us on screen on all of your different apps, and we're on screen for the first time on Twitch, which is pretty cool, John. I'm on our Twitch channel. We're building that out, so we're going to do some fun things there in the future. John Clark, just give me the Reader's Digest. We just ended NXT. Big ending for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely big ending for them. They are going all out, literally all out for next week's show. They announced a myriad of things for next week. So I think they are hoping that they can avoid AEW getting some of the rub after their pay-per-view with a big show next week. We'll see how that works. But I kid you not, this is probably one of their biggest scheduled shows in quite a while. Honestly, this is a better lineup than the New Year's Evil show was.
For a TV show, which is crazy. They're not even calling it a takeover. So
correct.
And we may know what takeover we're getting before WrestleMania, by the way, too. Was that confirmed at all tonight or no?
It wasn't confirmed, but it did appear on a graphic they showed on the air tonight. So
they just showed, did they show a date? Did they just say NXT TakeOver April 8th? They just didn't give it a theme or anything like that.
No. It said on the graphic something about their move to Peacock, and then it showed a frame of Fastlane. And then it said NXT TakeOver, and then it had April, it had the date underneath it, and then it said
okay. So they graphically they announced it, but there was no formal like
they didn't speak anything.
Yeah, because we got word and several people sent it to us at WrestleZone in the past 24 hours that for people that are making that transition saying, oh, I'm just gonna get around my WWE network now and wait until Peacock launches. I only watch the new pay-per-views when they come out. We had a couple of people reach out to us saying they sent us screenshots of it. And they said there's going to be an NXT takeover on April 8th, but Thursday. WWE hasn't announced it yet, which would be the Thursday. So it'd be Thursday NXT takeover with NXT Wednesday before it, Friday SmackDown for WrestleMania night one, WrestleMania night two, and then a Raw. That's a lot.
If they do go that way, that pretty much eliminates any chance for a Hall of Fame this year. There's no other night they could do that.
I think they can move the Hall of Fame to like the summer if they really wanted to do it and do it.
Well,
like,
yeah, but I meant that weekend. Like that. So. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that being a SummerSlam weekend thing, too. I wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. That. Absolutely.
Yeah. Plenty to get into. A lot of people signing off here. Herman saying AEW looks like WCW 2.0. I'm so tired of people saying that. I get it. It's on TNT, but I definitely go. There were a lot of allusions to the past of WCW on the show tonight. Go ahead and hit the like button if you guys are with us as well. Go ahead and share the link. I know we had some people won these last week. We want to give away more of these. This is our WrestleMania Okay, Road to WrestleMania activity theme book. Maybe before the end of the show, I'll read some of the questions. But if you want to do it, you want to win this. You want to win this. You got to share the link to the show. If you guys are listening on the podcast side of things, you guys can also do that by tweeting out a link to the show and just tagging at WrestleZone.com. Make sure it's a link to the podcast when we post it as well. So just go back to WrestleZone.com and say, "Hey, I want to win that WrestleMania activity theme book." Put it in a tweet, and we'll do that for you. Let's get into tonight's AEW, and then we'll cover NXT. This is a big AEW. This opens with Shaquille O'Neal tagging with Jade Cargill, her debut match for AEW, which is pretty challenging, against Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet, the liege, the understudy of Brandi Rhodes, who's not in this match, even though she was involved in the buildup because she's going to have a baby. I thought this was pretty interesting for Shaq. He looked huge. He did a handful of things in this match.
You're having some technical difficulties, Kevin. You keep cutting out.
I keep cutting out. Can you hear me or see me?
I can see you and hear you now. Try again.
Okay. Am I good now?
I think you're good now. Yep.
Okay. I don't know what that issue was. Sorry, I didn't have my window up here. I'm trying to make sure I keep track of results while I'm talking to you guys too here. I'll close some other tabs. It's important. So I thought he looked good. They didn't make him look like a goof. He looked big and giant. He had a decent outfit. I would have liked maybe a cooler outfit. But this was a big deal, and they set up that table on the outside of the ring. Red Velvet and Jade Cargill were going to tease something there, but I knew once they put those tables out there that either Cody or Shaq or a combination of the two were going through the tables. Technically, it was mostly Shaq, but Cody went through there with them. And he springs through the ropes and splashes him. Jade Cargill is able to get the win after this. Jade looked really, really good. She didn't do a whole lot, but she looked pretty strong here. And hits Lisa Marie Varon's Black Widow, which was a pretty cool finisher. I thought that was a cool move to end with here. I'm surprised that they wouldn't give this win to, specifically if Shaq was going to be laid out, they wouldn't go with Red Velvet, maybe boost her up. But I think they've kind of emphasized Jade Cargill in this whole promotion a little bit more than anyone. Outside of Shaq, obviously.
Sure, and that's an interesting concept. I mean, obviously, Shaq was the star talent there. Mm-hmm. It was obviously built around him. I think, you know, the point of the match was because of him. I think you would agree there. How do you think he looked?
I thought he looked great. They didn't make him look like a goof. He came in there with respect to wrestling. Obviously, I don't think definitely in AEW, which is all about pro wrestling for the sake of pro wrestling and treating it right. Shaq has been around wrestling since the mid-90s. He's made sporadic appearances. He definitely respects it. He could be one of those celebrities that WWE honors at the Hall of Fame or something like that. He's done cameos with them, but this is his first like real match. He did a battle royale and did a handful of things in it. He got involved in some WWE matches. They wanted him in WCW in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
But this is a legitimate match. He did a handful of things. He did the press slam. Cody made him look good. Cody didn't make him look bad. And also, this guy took a bump off the apron through two tables. All right? At his age, with his injuries and his size, it was impressive, to say the least. If you were an NBA fan and you tuned in, I think this is smart of them, by the way, to put this on at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Not to make people wait all night for this, but to get those casual viewers early. It's almost what WWE would do back in the 80s with Saturday's main event, is they would do it top heavy. You would get your main event on those quarterly TV specials on NBC. You would get them in the first part of the show. And you get some great wrestling later on, maybe a really fun tag team match or an intercontinental title match to end the show. But you almost always got Hulk Hogan doing the big angle early on, because that's when they knew they could get the most viewers. And I thought that was probably a great idea. We also saw that kind of viewing pattern in terms of live TV audiences as well for WWE Raw, and they kind of teased the whole night. And it proved it didn't do a great number, but demographic-wise, Raw did very, very well this week. Took the top three spots on cable. So, I mean, in terms of 18 to 49, I think that's what they were doing here. I think they were really, really playing for a hard 18 to 49 number to really kick themselves up a notch. They trended number one on Twitter, which was always very strong, trending with AEW on TNT, Shaq as well. WWE NXT also trending in the top 10 on Twitter. And they're right next to huge shows like The Challenge and big reality shows. So I thought this was a smart pivot by them. Post-match angle is they're bringing Shaq out on a stretcher. Okay. Not good. right? And they do some cutaways back to commentary, teasing other things in the night, tease. Go back to the stretcher. Tony Schiavone wants to see what's going on with him inside the stretcher. Who gets interviewed while they're in an ambulance? They open up the ambulance. Shaq isn't there. Shaq's not in the ambulance. Thought we would get a teaser fulfillment of that, but I don't know why. What did you guys think of it? I want to know your comments. Get your comments here on screen with you guys here.
Do you think that the reason that they did this was maybe for something this weekend then or not?
I'm not sure. I thought maybe we'd get something later on in the night. You know, also Big Show, Paul White debuted on this show. I thought maybe that would lead to something later on in the night, but they didn't back it up. Maybe we get something with him on the show. Maybe this is something on TV next week. I mean, if they really want to get the most out of Shaq, I think it's better for them to use it as a TV device than a pay-per-view device. I don't know if I think casual people would start watching AEW Dynamite, even though pay-per-views are a big deal for them. But that's hardcore fans. You're gonna get through that pain window. That's who you're gonna. That's the seed within the fruit. You know, you're gonna be able to grow with that. But you still need, you know, the fruit around him. You know, so I think that's the casual audience, and that's what Shaq is there for. I think they're gonna, if they use him again on any platform, it's gonna be on digital. And it's gonna be on TV before I think they put him on a pay per view. That's just my take, and I think it's a smart, clever move on their take. Also, he did a great job in terms of like celebrity matches. This is really good. Cody, though, did the media call earlier today. You can listen to it if you want to, even though I think some of it would be past tense. But plenty of it leads into this Sunday's Revolution. And our very own Bill Pritchard was talking to him, and he asked him about several different things, including the reported NXT move off of Wednesdays to Tuesdays, which has not been confirmed by WWE NXT just yet. But about comments that Pat McAfee made. Now, Pat McAfee, very popular radio host, former Indianapolis Colt player, was a part of those big celebrity matches this past year for WWE NXT, probably had the best debut of any celebrity in a wrestling ring, maybe the best celebrity quote-unquote match. And they asked him about that, and he made some alluding remark that, you know, McAfee is trying to get a job with AEW every single day. On air today, Pat McAfee caught wind of that off of our own Bill asking this question. And mind you, it was like a connection of, hey, you're spawning these WWE NXT stories are kind of like refractory of what you guys are doing. You know?
Sure.
And Pat McAfee denied it. But, you know, Cody also said, you know, that he was going to go out there and really prove some things. And in the same media call, he said that Shaq doesn't have the gas in the tank. But Shaq had plenty of gas in the tank tonight, and they didn't make him look bad. You know, they didn't have him do anything physically he couldn't pull off at his size and his age. And he looked really strong. I'm down for more Shaq stuff in the future, especially if you're going to protect him and make him look great.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of a stretch with them saying that Pat is basically doing what he's doing to try to get a job with AEW. I don't think that's true at all. I think him and Triple H have a good relationship there, and I think that, you know, I mean, obviously, he's not, as far as I know, he's not under contract. It's just on a per appearance thing for what I think. But nevertheless, Shaq is obviously bigger celebrity. But like Pat said earlier today, I don't think he's a celebrity. I wouldn't categorize him as a celebrity.
Who?
Pat McAfee.
I would. National radio, dude.
I mean, even he said himself, I don't consider myself a celebrity.
He's a celebrity whether he likes it or not.
Well, here's the thing.
Shaq's a celebrity. Shaq's more of a celebrity now than he is an athlete.
Like the video he posted on his Twitter, he was actually legitimately wrestling a match. He wasn't just like, I wouldn't consider him to be a celebrity wrestler, if that makes sense. What do you think?
Who? Pat?
Yeah, Pat.
Yes. No, Pat's still a celebrity wrestler. He'll always have that on him, whether he likes it or not.
Well, then I guess we'll have a agreement.
Sure, we can disagree on it.
I just think that he, you know, like mm-hmm. he said, 15 minutes, no gimmicks, one-on-one, don't label me a celebrity, dumb folks from the IWC did. That's just not the case.
Pat's just stirring the pot, he knows.
I just happen to agree, but back on topic with Sean.
All right, Mike Kirschenbaum, we'll go for this. When is AEW going to man up and go against Raw?
I've been asking that
too,
Mike.
Hang on. They're bragging that they're beating WWE Rookie League in the ratings. They are rookies and bragging. It's pathetic. Well, Michael Kirschbaum, listen, I know everyone wants to stir the pot, just as I said Pat McAfee was a minute ago.
Can't argue there, Mike.
And I know, don't worry, within this show, you can get in all of your AEW versus NXT tribalism BS. Because guess what? It's BS. Because I'm going to tell you who won and who wins Wednesday Night War. I'm going to tell you that. Big scoop coming, guys. I'm going to tell you who wins the war tonight. Right now. Are you ready for it? John, are you ready for this shocking statement of who wins the Wednesday Night War? Not too shocking, because I've told you this before. No, you want to know who wins the Wednesday Night War? You. You and I, the wrestling fan, have won this. Okay? Before we cover any more of AEW, because I can tell that people want to get in. Do you want to touch on this now before we cover the rest of Dynamite? Do you want to touch on this?
What's this?
The report comes out, and it's several different sources, several different outlets, that WWE NXT, which has been going head-to-head with AEW Dynamite on TNT for the better part of a year. I wanted to wait to cover this in between reviewing both shows, but people can't hold themselves off, right? And people say, no BS, Kevin. Yes, don't worry. I don't mind teasing you here. But here's the thing. The report comes in that WWE NXT was going to be moved from Wednesday nights to Tuesday nights and would remain on the USA Network and then would air the next day on Peacock and their WWE Network deal for streaming, right? No different in kind of the arrangement they have now, just moving it up a day. This has then changed the WWE arrangement of Raw Mondays, NXT on Tuesdays, SmackDown on Fridays, along with 205 Live, okay? So obviously what that would do is that would no longer put NXT against AEW Dynamite head-to-head in the ratings war. And there are plenty of people that are going to rush to the idea. And just, they couldn't, their fingers couldn't type fast enough to say something that they hope gets likes, right? And the clickbait was baited. Oh, man, people were pulling out all the worms trying to hook people, right? But here's the deal. You're the winner. You are the winner. All right. And yes, you may think, oh, AEW drove them off the night. There's a lot of circumstances that people just don't want to admit to here. The NBC Sports Network is closed. So, that's going away. So NBC Universal,
it is.
NBC Universal, which owns the USA Network, is going to take the NHL games, which are mostly on Wednesday nights, and move them over to the USA Network, or maybe the CNBC, and also they have different sports things. Plus, we're going to have the Olympics. We didn't know if they would get preempted by the Olympics. We don't know that arrangement just yet. But this would also, as we saw a couple months ago, you and I saw this, NXT did one or two Tuesdays. They had some preemptions due to sports and different things with the playoffs.
Right? Super Tuesday was what it was
called. Super Tuesday, and those were great. And they did like that Iron Man match, which was incredible. One of the best NXT matches of the year last year. And they proved that there was a better night. And NXT got a better audience. Is it wrong for NBC Universal to say, all right, we get a better night on Tuesdays. We get a bigger audience. Let's go ahead and do it. Now, obviously, some people say, keep going at them. Keep going at them. And then AEW fans, I think, really just want to say they won the war with WWE. And the perception will be that. And that's fine. But did you win if NXT is still on the air? No, like that to me, you didn't win, and no, they don't. No one needs to win. You here, this is perfect, Michael. I love wrestling, and now you know what the cool thing is going to be? I can watch it on different nights. Am I going to do the post show for Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays? We may have to change that, they may be different. Like, that's the thing I immediately thought of. Like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Actually, I did too, honestly.
Yeah, so I was going to message
you about that.
Yeah, how are we going to do that? But mind you, this move isn't official yet. There's some people who think that they can move to Thursdays as well. So I'm more inclined to think that they would do it on Tuesdays because Monday Night Raw could be a great setup and really, I think, in a better way, if it's the night before, pitch what's tomorrow night, you know? So I'm okay with that. And then also, like, the real people that have to worry about this now is Impact Wrestling. So Impact Wrestling airs on Access TV, which doesn't have the strongest distribution. Strong channel, has a bunch of great content on it. But they're on there. That's their night. They want to have their night. And then AEW has The Dark Show as well, which is a YouTube show. So I think they're the ones that have to, like, they have competition from WWE. So it's a big deal for them. So, I think it's a much, much bigger deal for them than it is for anybody. It's a great deal for fans. This is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. The one, and I do agree with you on this point, but I would say I don't probably agree as strongly as the point you're making. While they did do better a night before, they were still only pulling like 0.85, 0.84 compared to their normal like 0.7, 0.6. So it's only like 100,000 spin.
It's a much bigger, but that's much bigger then, because you can round that up. Nielsen, here's the thing, Nielsen overnight viewers, it is such a skewed number, guys. It is so skewed. But it is not the most accurate rating system. NXT on its own night does so many more things for itself and the talent, and then the comparisons become less to AEW. They'll still be there. People will still make them.
It's not an accurate, I get it, but they're still using the same system every Wednesday. It's not like one Wednesday, it's a different system. So I get what you're saying with it's not an accurate representation, but you're still comparing themselves to themselves each week, and they're lower or higher than the other. As far as the reasoning, people need to understand that it's really because hockey on USA. It's not because they're admitting defeat, which I saw people saying.
No.
The reason why a couple months from now,
I mean, the perception can't be changed. Like, the perception is there, and it's fine. People are going to have it. It's there.
Definitely. But so, I mean, when we talk about NXT a little bit later, which we will, there's indications pointing that we'll find out within the next 2 weeks or so that starting in a month from now, NXT will indeed move from Wednesday to Tuesday nights permanently. And that is because of hockey coming to USA Network.
And it's speculative that first day where NXT WNXT's television show would air on a Tuesday night would be the Tuesday after WrestleMania, which I think is a great time to do it. That's
definitely
it's a perfect time to do it. They would be fresh off a takeover, fresh off WrestleMania, the biggest weekend in wrestling. Smart move. Like I think that's a smart move.
But it is interesting that they're not waiting.
And if you think they lost, fine. Like, what did WWE really lose? They just signed a $1 billion deal. More people, I think, are going to see NXT in the next 6 months because of Peacock than have ever seen it. So what's the issue?
Like, I still think they lose somewhat. I honestly do.
Fine. I don't care. Like, I care to a degree, but I mean, like, also, like, does it take away from the quality of it? I don't think there's many AEW fans that have that loyalty where they have to go online and fight with people. I don't think many of them can tell you that there isn't great wrestling on NXT. They can't do that. Like, they could say it, but they know it's just, oh, I'm just doing it to piss somebody off.
The reason I say that they lose somewhat is because it looks like the opposition will now be able to consistently get 1 to 1.1 million every week, which I get that's not a big deal, but there's a lot of room for growth at that point, where I think where they're at now, they were kind of putting a stop to that growth, at least somewhat. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to read this comment here from Edie texting and saying, AEW will not get easy viewership with NBA. I think he means NBA. He says NBL. NBA and NASCAR coming soon.
I don't understand that, because NASCAR is not on Wednesday nights. NASCAR.
Yeah, and NBA has a handful of games on Wednesday nights. And they get preempted because they're on TNT. You know, so they get moved around for that stuff too as well. And also, like, if AEW just has the same viewership and they're unopposed, or at least it's only a slight bump up,
that's worrisome.
The pressure could be on them. And the pressure inversely could be on NXT. Whereas if they go to Tuesdays and it's just like the same thing, you think it will be?
I think it will be. I think they'll still be around 0.7, 0.8, but I do think AEW will get 1.1, 1.2 consistently. I really do. Do you?
I think both shows will see a bump up. Now, obviously, if you're partial to either one, I could see you wanting your show to have a bigger bump, and then you could say, look, see, it was smart. We went to a better night, you know, like you kick ass. And so if you're an AEW fan, you want that. But if it doesn't, what's your excuse now? Because you're not head to head. You're on separate nights. So there's a lot of that. But also, like, live TV viewership, like, there's so many people that are going to listen to our podcasts here covering these shows that are on. Mind you, we're 24 minutes in. We got to get back to reviewing them. So there's plenty of people that listen to our show like Friday or Thursday, and they're catching up. Like, they watch the Dynamite shows all on Thursday. We have international fans that listen to our shows as well. And they, when do they get the show? On a completely different time frame, you know? So there's a lot of that, though. So interesting stuff to follow. Could the Wednesday Night Wars be done? Here's the real wrench. Here's the real wrench I think could happen. What if WWE says, let's do our takeovers on Wednesday nights? I think that would be it. Like, the takeovers on the Peacock WWE Network deal on a Wednesday night behind the paywall, like, and we have our TV on Tuesdays. You don't think that's a cool idea? That's the
No, I think it's a cool idea. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Who knows? Could be a possibility now. So we'll see. Back to this week's AEW Dynamite, jumping into the other big angles of the show. You can get the full results, by the way, at WrestleZone.com. We had Rey Fénix and we had Pac and Rey Fénix versus John Skyler and D3. Quick match here. Pac and Rey Fénix make quick work of them. Pac felt rushed in this match. I mean, they get plenty of time to the opening stuff here with Shaq and Cody. I would hope that Pac will be doing some bigger things, though he did get to show off his 450 finisher here. What do you think of Pac so far in AEW? They made him look like a real monster.
Yeah, I think the direction they're going with him now, I think, is kind of unpredictable. There's a lot of things they could do with him now. How much do you think they're going to elevate him?
I think he's one of those guys where it's just like a depth thing. Like WWE has the same thing. It's like, oh, why are they doing anything with this guy? He looks really cool, and they aren't pushing the trigger.
He's like like
a Kevin Owens. Like Kevin Owens is at the top. Like, what now? What are you going to do with him? You know?
Yeah.
And they don't want to see that guy who isn't getting the thing like demoted either. So there's some people who are just, that's just the way a cookie crumbles, man. You know, like it's kind of that way. So we also had a very interesting match, a 6-man tag team match. The FTR are throwbacks, right? They love themselves, the Four Horsemen. The FTR love the Four Horsemen, and they love being paired with a Horseman as their manager and Tully Blanchard. All right. And guess what? They get even more Horseman-esque in this match as FTR get to team with Tully Blanchard, who comes up to the ring wearing like athletic gear that like an old guy should wear, where he doesn't have to be shirtless, right? And he looked good. He did a handful of things. He didn't look too athletic, but he looked right. He did all the Memphis shenanigans. He didn't go diving through the ropes. He did like the strut. You know, I thought that was like kind of like a Horseman flare strut. That was cool. J.J. Dillon was with them at ringside against the Jurassic Express. I didn't even talk about the Jurassic Express. They were bumping their asses off in this match as well. They tried to do the old J.J. Dillon takes his shoe off and you hit someone with the shoe when the ref isn't looking finish. So they did a lot of like over the top things. I like this. I actually thought this was the best match of the night. FTR and Tully Blanchard win when a photographer at ringside attacks someone. Who is this masked photographer? It's Sean Spears, who we haven't seen in quite some time. And it appears, officially, Sean Spears, FTR, J.J. Dillon, maybe a faction? And Arn Anderson comes out and flashes the big four fingers at them. Quite interesting here. Where could you see this going? Is this a more formed-out faction for the future of AEW? Kind of neat. And this was like almost a pay-per-view match on TV. I like the idea of like, all right, we know we're going to have a pay-per-view. We can't get everything on that show. So let's make the TV before something big. I've seen WWE do this a little bit too. Sometimes they do this with NXT where it's a cool big match, but you know, let's not have it get cut from a pay-per-view. Let's do it the week of TV. While we're building up thing, here's a cool payoff. If you like that payoff, we got a whole bunch of more on this pay-per-view, right? So I liked it. It was a really, really fun match. And, you know, they didn't abuse the idea of a legend. AEW does pretty good stuff with their legends. When they put them out there, they're going to have them do something impactful. And they did this as well with Tully and JJ.
Yeah, definitely. But this whole photographer thing that they decided to go, I don't know. It just, for some reason, doesn't make sense to me that that's the way they decided to do it. And I don't understand how he fits into this either.
Sean Spears was managed by Tully Blanchard for a long time on his own right. And they've kind of like definitely lowered the lights on him. But bring him back. And this guy has a lot of credibility. He has a lot of skill. He was a big part of AEW in the first stages on TV. If him riding with FTR brings his stock up, I'm all on board with it. The lines are so easy to connect between him, Tully, and FTR. It makes complete sense. You know, I wonder if they want to add another guy to it and make it like a new Four Horsemen, but then you're getting so into the idea of them being like the Horsemen and those comparisons are so hard. I would hope that they don't get too tied to the idea of being a throwback, you know, try and craft something on your own in that regard. So, other things to cover, we have the women's eliminator final. This was a match that's been built up to for a while. They did the Japanese bracket and the American bracket. The Japanese matches were taped. Very, very hard thing for them to pull that off here during a pandemic. And they had a women's bracket. Nyla Rose surprisingly winning in the finals. A lot of people thought this was Britt Baker's match to win. She takes on Ryo Mizunami. And Ryo, I want to say that correctly. I don't want to mispronounce that here. Gets the victory. This is kind of surprising. You know, some German suplexes, big spears. Nyla Rose just couldn't get it done. Vicky Guerrero ringside was not happy. They're going with Mizunami versus Shida this Sunday on pay-per-view, a feature of the two top Japanese wrestling talents. I think this will be a good match, but I do think, unfortunately, fans won't give it what it deserves. Mizunami is a brand new star, you know, for a lot of mainstream fans to see here in the United States. And that isn't me saying that this is right. I'm just saying perception sometimes is a hard thing to get over. I do think Shida has been established as a real star. They had like a brief kind of like interaction after the match when she got her, you know, trophy to win the tournament, and the champion who she's going to face is, you know, slapping her. So it's something, but I think they could have gone in a bigger direction if they went with Baker versus Shida, don't you?
Yeah, I don't. This is going to be a weird match because I feel like a lot of fans don't really know who this is, if that makes sense.
They do, but I think also with AEW Dynamite, people don't mind that as much because they trust. It's almost like let me use this example. I worked in radio. Sometimes people will like listen to your radio station because they trust, oh, they're going to play bands I like. There's a radio station in your town that you're going to listen to. They play bands I like, and I know they're going to play something new. And I don't know who that new thing is, but I'll trust them to give me something new that's in the general realm of what I like. And I think that's what they're going here with Mizunami. Now, is that meaning you got to go and put it on pay-per-view? That's the only thing I'm saying. You know, I also, she looked great tonight. She's a fantastic wrestler. But AEW has a lot of great wrestlers. They have an abundance of great wrestlers.
Sure.
Do they have the great wrestler and characters? And I think that's an issue with AEW's women's divisions. They have a bunch of fantastic wrestlers, but Nyla Rose felt like more of a character than Mizunami is to them. And mind you, this is no crack at her. I just think they could go in some different directions here. DJ saying he thinks she looked great in that match. I agree. She did look fantastic. She did look fantastic in this match here. But I could see some people, unfortunately, the match has been built up to with this tournament here, which is very much a Japanese-style thing. I think the swerve is, wow, we didn't go with any Americans in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, here, or the person winning the whole tournament isn't one of our American talents. That's a swerve. And our champion is Akira Shida. So I get it. But I still think it would have meant more if you went with Britt Baker, because she was so hot, or Thunder Rosa, who also had a lot of momentum. Maybe there's some other reason that'll become a little bit more clear as to why they aren't going in that direction. But no tease of a different angle, you know, unless they want to do a big angle and launch it at the pay-per-view on Sunday. So in that regard, following what NXT had tonight, I think maybe NXT had a slightly more interesting evening with the women, just to say the least. Just to say the least in terms of angles and other things here. Don't want to leave you waiting too long, John, to talk about your NXT. We'll get to it in just enough time. We have an in-ring angle, another one with Tony Schiavone talking to Sting. Out comes Ricky Starks, who insults him and slaps him. Cue Team Taz, who've been terrorizing Sting and Darby Allin for weeks, and they have a big brawl. Sting gets very, very active, takes a handful of bumps in this, doesn't take the powerbomb because Darby Allin saves the day. Sting looks very, very physical. And the Stinger splashes all the bad guys and sends them bailing. This looks like we're going to get a real go of Sting here. And he looks ready to go. He looked comfortable. His movement in the ring did not look stuttered or impatient. You know, he looked very much in the realm of the thing he's supposed to do. You have a 61-year-old man. Obviously, the spinal issues that happened in WWE, people worried about. I'm less worried about Sting going into the Sunday than maybe I was a month ago.
Fair enough. After seeing what he's done, it would make sense to say that and think that. But the question does still remain, how involved will he actually be?
I think he'll be plenty involved. This is a street fight, so do you have to have a full-fledged match? No, but you're going to have to do some pretty violent things. And you may have to do some of those violent things outside the ring. Now, you know, AEW's had a street fight that didn't go the right way before with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. I don't think we're going to have that type of scenario here. I think they're going to dot all their I's and cross all their T's and make sure all their tables are breaking right. And, you know, they had a big table break with a very noteworthy name tonight. I don't think they're going to go in that direction. I'm hoping for the best. And I think Sting looks cool. If you're only going to use Sting to do these type of things, you know, this is the stuff you should do. I like that they made him more physical in the build up to the match. They had him take the power bomb so you could see he's going to take a bump. They had him get physical last week when they did this the zip line into the ring with Darby and stuff like that. He was fighting in that as well. They've gotten him away from the bat. He doesn't lean on the bat to get through segments and stuff like that. He's still Sting. He's still very much a mythical character who feels like a big name thing, a huge acquisition for them. Getting to the Big Show stuff, zipping through this as long as I could. Sorry, we got to the NXT TV night things. It moved a little bit quickly here.
Yeah.
We also had a press conference here with the Inner Circle, who just cut a hell of a promo on them Young Bucks. Eric Bischoff made an appearance along with several different people from media, including Conrad Thomas, popular podcast host who appeared on this. They called him Turkey Tits, which I thought was a mean line from MJF. And this prompted the Young Bucks to come out and cut a hell of a promo saying, "You attacked our dad last week. And our dad inspired us for our DIY attitude. And that inspired us to start AEW. So you insulted AEW." All right. They got all the heat on him. Pride and Powerful, who are backing up Chris Jericho and MJF in the Inner Circle, they get put through tables. Good heat. Good build. Strong. And the heels got away from it. At first I was kind of surprised. I went with Jericho and MJF. Obviously, Jericho, huge star, but just that combination of it, right? Against Bucks for the tag team titles. But I think this is probably maybe the number two match on the pay-per-view this weekend, wouldn't you say? Next to the exploding barbed wire death match?
Yeah, I would agree there for sure.
Yeah, so it makes complete sense. I mean, I don't have to explain much more because it was just a great segment. If you can catch the clip of it on YouTube, go see it. I thought it was just perfect. It was good old school heat. And it made complete sense. Paul White, The Big Show. He made his debut on AEW Dynamite in a shirt that says, "No more BS, no more BS," right? Because he has to reference something he did in WWE. So no more BS. And he made a little bit of a flub and people jumped. I hate when people jump on people for making a flub, right? And he noted he got the duty to go out there and reference that a Hall of Fame worthy name would make his presence known this Sunday at AEW Dynamite's AEW's Revolution. He called it Evolution. Fine, whatever.
All right. Was that the flub?
Evolution was the flub. Yeah. The show is Revolution. That's fine. It's not the worst thing in the world, guys. Okay. And there have been worse flubs in wrestling. All right. It'll make it on Botchamania. Yes, Robert E. Felice is on Fightful right now. I also agree, Steven. Traitor. Robert Benedict DeFelis. Yes, I love Robert. Robert and I did the Impact Post Wrestling show today. So if you guys haven't checked it out yet, that's up on the feed as well. So he teases this, that they're going to have this big name. Who do you think their big name is? Because that's a Hall of Fame worthy name? Who's available? Who's out there? Who can they get?
I think he's going to say it's himself, honestly.
I think that is the swerve as well. And he would enter the face of the Revolution ladder match. The winner gets a shot at the TNT championship. It makes complete sense for him to come in and be like, "Oh, I'm going to be the happy good guy. Like, you know what? I'm in the match and I'm going to kick all your asses. I'm going to win this ladder match. And look, now there's no more BS and I'm coming for a title, a big title that a TV station has their name on." I think that's a good idea. Now, obviously people would love it to be CM Punk.
Okay. Stop it. Stop.
How dare you? How dare you?
I love that.
People wouldn't love it? You don't think they pop it up?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Come on now. You covering the camera? Would you not love that? Who would come out that would legitimately aggravate you as a NXT WWE loyalist?
Him. Exactly him.
If Punk came out on the show.
Exactly. Or Brock
Lesnar. Why? Tell me why.
I don't know. The thought of the possibility of that happening makes my stomach turn upside down. Because it just can't happen like that. But yeah, or Brock Lesnar, that would be my second.
If they have Brock Lesnar, that'd be insane. I don't know. I think if you had Brock Lesnar, you would advertise it. With Punk, you'd want it to be like the shocking appearance, right? With Brock Lesnar, I think he would move the needles and you'd want to let people know that at least that he's coming. Now, mind you, WWE's had Brock Lesnar come back now and then and surprise some stuff. So I also think, I don't know, I'm more inclined to think that if Brock wants to wrestle, he's going to do it at WWE. He's comfortable there. He's going to go with them. So there's that. It'll certainly be interesting. We'll do a live post show, by the way, on Sunday. We're settling plans for that as well. So keep an eye on our channels. If you guys are following us on Facebook, make sure you turn those, set those reminders on, by the way, so you know exactly when we go live. And don't think that you just have to watch our show live. You can watch it on demand, or you can listen to it, podcast as well, all the audio there as well. So definitely don't forget that, especially with the pay-per-view this weekend. So main event time. We had several other angles on the show, but let's get to the main event here. As we had a match with Matt Hardy, Mark Quinn versus John Silver, Hangman Page. They're teasing Matt Hardy and Hangman Page in a big money match. Winner gets the loser's quarterly earnings. We just did an interview today that dropped with Matt Hardy, where he talked about his creative process going into AEW and how he had to pivot away from Broken Matt into this big money Matt version of himself again. And how that process changed in the pandemic. So very, very interesting interview. If you haven't done it, go check it out. Wally burp. Solid tag team match. I still think the six-man earlier in the night was better. And leave it to Matt Hardy. He is full-fledged heel. He made Mark Quinn do all the work and then demanded he get the tag team to try and hit a twist of fate, only for Hangman Page and John Silver to one-up him and get that buckshot lariat. This broke out into a big brawl with all the tag teams in the Dark Order and all the familiar. These are all the teams that are going to be a part of the tag team battle royale. And the show ends with a big old rumble at the end. No Shaq, no tease of who the mystery man could be, but a big old fashioned brawl at the end. I thought this was a front loaded show with Shaq. I thought it was smart to do the biggest stuff of the show on the first hour. Maybe you felt cheated if you watched for 2 hours, but I thought this was a fun show. I give AEW Dynamite a solid 8. Sold on the pay-per-view if you're an AEW fan, and look forward to the big barbed wire exploding death match, which had no segments tonight. They just did a vignette, and they're doing a countdown special now, so I think maybe that's the main thing they're focusing on. But surprise, no John Moxley and Kenny Omega tonight. So I did think that was the surprising physical admission, but they're still present on the show in terms of like video packages and stuff like that. So let's get into WWE NXT.
To give you a rating.
I give it an 8, an 8 out of 10, an 8, an 8 out of 10, an 8 out of 10. AEW Diamond gets an 8 out of 10. I'm sorry that we're coming to NXT here at 42 minutes into the show, John, but we had to talk about them possibly moving to Tuesdays. That's the big delay.
Yeah, so while we're on the subject, that was kind of possibly addressed tonight. So let's start with the Women's Tag Team Championship match, which was Raquel and Dakota Kai against Nia Jax.
Would you, John, would you be upset if I unfortunately have to interrupt you with some sad news I'm getting right now?
I know the sad news. Yeah,
people have been talking about it. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know we're kind of off course here, but I do have to talk about this before we're done tonight. Jim Crockett Jr. has passed away at the age of 76 from organ failure. Of course, many people know him as a part of the famous Crockett promotion family. He was a former NWA president. Crockett Jr. purchased WTBS time slot from Vince McMahon and eventually sold the company to Ted Turner in 1988. That would grow to become WCW champion. The promotion was later renamed WCW Championship Wrestling. Crockett's father founded the legendary Jim Crockett Promotions, and Jr. ran the business for many times and obviously ran it during its prime era, with Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes at the top of the territory. So that is a huge story. We will continue to cover that in detail and see how the wrestling world reacts to it. But certainly a giant loss for, especially if fans, you know, discovering that Crockett era NWA on the network. This is that promotion's Vince McMahon. Very, very huge loss for the wrestling world.
Yeah, I would agree. I can't lie. I don't know much about him. I don't know much about what he's done, just being that I didn't really follow the independent promotions or anything like in the old days. So I can't really add too much because I'm not quite sure. I do understand how critical he was to the business, but that's all I can really say. Uneducated.
It's okay. Hey, man, you're not claiming to know something you don't know. You know, so so I appreciate that here. We will continue to have more details on the story and go in depth about this in the hours and days ahead here. So definitely keep an eye on WrestleZone.com. I expect to see an overwhelming response to this, especially from those performers, the Ric Flairs, the Rhodes family, which benefited a lot from their Dusty Rhodes being featured there, and so many other people. You know, Robert Gibson, I think, was the first person to tweet about it. So you have the Rock and Roll Express. So you have a lot of names that are going to reference this that were under his liege that references. Sad for this to happen as well. During AEW Dynamite, Tony Schiavone worked with him for a long time. Jim Crompton worked for him a long time. They're learning that while they're on air. A sad circumstance in that regard. I'm sorry to interrupt you before we get to NXT. I know we're getting into it 45 minutes in the show. I'm already time stamping. I'm doing what they did on Raw, where I keep teasing to you for the title match, and then I interrupt you with something else. But let's get into it here. Let's get into this here. This is an NXT that has a lot of attention on it that maybe because of the Soul Tuesday move is a little bit more intriguing, right?
Yeah, and like I was saying with the Women's Tag Team Championship match there between Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, the ending a little bit awkward when Dakota Kai tapped out to Shayna Baszler's choke submission, but she wasn't the legal woman. It was Raquel Gonzalez, but none other than Adam Pearce comes out with a Raw official to call for the bell. Which is almost like, why are they doing like a Raw versus NXT feud here?
It's interesting,
but this leads into a backstage argument between Pierce and Regal shown on TV behind closed doors. So you can't hear what they're saying until Regal comes out and gets on the interview and says, I'm not happy with what's happened. Next Wednesday night on NXT, I have a huge groundbreaking announcement that will change the landscape of this show forever. Could that be the announcement? But people, including myself, are wondering, what does that have to do with an argument with Adam Pearce? Why would moving to Tuesdays have anything to do with this? How do you connect the dots here?
Well, we have fans already upset about it. A lot of wrestling fans were very, very angry about this. Like
I
almost wonder if the reaction was bigger tonight because they didn't change the titles, because they went with the idea of let's aggravate people and maybe draw them out to another match here. Steve texting and saying Nia Shayna versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez was bull crap. Do you guys see a rematch possible for Fastlane?
Not Fastlane.
I don't know if it's Fastlane. I think they would want to do this on television. I think you would want to get people to watch TV and get NXT to be appointment viewing. Big things happen on NXT. And I think that's the better thing to do, unless you want to do the match that week, that April 8th show, that potential takeover the Thursday before WrestleMania weekend. I'm okay with that. But I mean, for the Dusty Cup winners to get this, to kind of get screwed, this was a screw job finish. This was Adam Pearce trying to protect Monday Night Raw and keep the women's titles, which can float from all three WWE brands, under the brands that he manages. William Regal came out and was very upset about it. There were shenanigans. There was a different referee, right? Not an NXT referee. So I don't mind it. It's interesting TV. If you're yelling about it and saying Adam Pearce sucks and this is bull crap, then it worked. Worked. You know, this is how you do a screw job finish and it works and it makes you want it. See, the text is on screen. Steve wants, are we going to get another rematch? You're on board. The hook's in your mouth, man.
I could actually see this extending into as far as WrestleMania. We've already been, it's been reported in the past couple days here that the current plan is that the NXT and NXT Women's Championships will not be defended at WrestleMania, but instead the takeover a couple nights before. So I think this is the perfect opportunity to have at least some NXT representation at the show with the women's tag match. I'd say throw them in there and do it. But again, back to the intriguing point where what could potentially be Regal's big announcement after this all happened tonight? I don't understand what it could be except the whole Tuesday thing. But like I said, how do you connect the dots here with these two? I just don't get it.
I think this is a way to try and maybe closely more connect NXT and Raw with the storyline night to night. Because you have Raw, right? And you have a lot of casual fans watch that show. It's a show they watch every week. Maybe they don't watch the whole show, right? And Shayna Baszler and Shayna and Nia have a lot of coverage on there. Shayna and Nia have a lot of heat with a lot of casual wrestling fans. A lot of people don't like them, want the titles off of them, and would love to see a new face and love to see those titles move to NXT. You know that the NXT women's division has a ferocious following, all right? Very, very ferocious following. So I love the genuine reaction to this. I think this is a way to connect the Raw crowd to the NXT crowd, and that's what they're going for. And I think it's a cool idea if you do move NXT to Tuesday nights to say, wait, if you want to see the follow-up of this storyline, tomorrow night we're going to have it on NXT on USA Network right here. Don't go anywhere. Or come right back. You know, you saw this on Monday. They teased a title match for 3 hours and did two non-finishes to give you the finish, and you got Bobby Lashley winning. That was one of the best Raw endings that we've seen in a long, long time. And people loved it. Loved it. Universally appreciated, right? Would you say? If you can create a moment like that on NXT, do it. You know what I mean? Do the big moments on TV, or at least do as many big moments on TV so that the things you do on a takeover add to them and become their own bigger moment. You know, build on the momentum. And also, this is a cool finish with Nia and Shayna, who haven't had many super compelling matches. People have been stinking on their matches. I thought this was a great match too. I got to catch the most of this one.
Absolutely. Very interesting for sure. And then on the other end of the spectrum with the men and the tag team, unfortunate news here that we were not able to have a championship match because MSK, there is a legitimately real injury within MSK. And that is, I believe Wes Lee broke his hand. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, there were x-rays of it. They put it out on socials.
Yeah, so they had to kind of steer to Thatcher and Tommaso as a tag team again tonight. But it's clear. Let's talk about what happened after the match, because that was the important thing. Firstly, the tag champions did win the match. But what's important is it appears that Imperium is now back into the mix as number one, or not number one contenders yet, but the main contenders in the picture to challenge the tag champions next. Interesting, considering both teams are heels. Imperium, arguably not their strongest when Walter's not there. Walter has yet to return to NXT since the COVID pandemic last year started in March. So it's been a full year since we've seen Walter in NXT. I think it's time to bring Walter back, and I think Imperium being in the tag picture is good for that. What do you think about the direction they're going now with by the way, MSK is still promised their opportunity when they're healthy, but that might not be for a while. What do you think now about Imperium now stepping into this?
I mean, it's a strong pivot. Imperium, and maybe a team that hasn't felt as highlighted in quite some time. They had the NXT tag team titles. They're really known as a team. You don't have Walter there. You have Alexander Wolf as
the
veteran.
That's when they won them.
That's when they won them. I mean, I think Walter being there would make this feel meatier on the bone. And almost Walter playing the like mean dad at ringside, like, you better do this. Like, that would be cool. I think Alexander Wolf can pull that off. And the idea of Imperium being like these super athlete bros, where like we have to, you better not upset us. Like, if you lose this game, your father's gonna be pissed. You know, like that type of thing. And I think it'd be way bigger if they had Walter. But I understand he's stuck in Europe. The pandemic, he can't do those things, right? I think Alexander Wolf, with his chops in NXT UK, in NXT, and Insanity, could play off that role of being like the angry dad. And I think that's the direction they could go in, and would almost be comedic for a very straight-laced act that Imperium is. The idea is that they're absolutely no BS, like Big Show's shirt. So I think that could be kind of interesting. But at the same time, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, they are absolute babyfaces in this scenario. Are babyfaces if they're going to be paired up against Imperium in that regard. But they're not a babyface team. This is a heel team. You know, they were presented as heel. So that's sort of confusing to me. And then what do you do with Thatcher and Ciampa? You just put this team together. Two singles guys are going to be the super team, right? They're gonna, like, we were kicking each other's ass. We're like the bar, like when Cesaro and Sheamus were fighting each other and they got paired together and became this great tag team. I think there was a lot of aspirations for them to become a great tag team. They washed out in the Dusty Cup tournament. They've had great matches. That match they had against Undisputed Era on TV like a few weeks ago, absolutely fantastic. But storyline-wise, do you see them being propelled like that? They're losing all these big matches, great matches, but they're definitely not winning the matches.
Yeah, they're not winning the matches, so that it's interesting to put somebody into the ability to win a championship when they're losing consistently is a little interesting concept. For those of you that like the funny parts of the show, you got two parts of the show split into five segments. What I mean by that is Cameron Grimes had two, and the Way's therapy session was broken into three different segments. This was Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, Austin Theory, Johnny Gargano at the therapist. It was not Dr. Shelby. It was an elderly lady.
I was hoping, weren't you hoping for Dr. Shelby? We
I
were
was,
rooting when
yes.
they announced this last week and you told me that. I was like, oh, I love it, Dr. Shelby. That'd be the
So
perfect way to bring him back.
the direction they're going here is that Austin Theory basically enjoys spending time with Dexter Loomis. But Dexter Loomis now regrets kidnapping Austin Theory because Austin Theory was a pain in the ass, is how they're treating this.
Good writing. That's like fun. I think that's funny stuff.
And
It's kind of neat.
then Indy Hartwell still has this obsessive crush on Dexter Loomis, where she is imagining being kidnapped next, which is a little bit on the edge of if you should really say that on NXT or not. Like they were saying, like, Austin Theory said that Johnny Gargano said that he was choked by Dexter Loomis, and Indy Hartwell was like, "Well, maybe I'll be next." Like I was like, is that really like kind of on the edge of what you should really say?" But they're obviously it was three different segments, and the way that it ended was that the therapist made Austin Theory genuinely afraid of Dexter Loomis, which is what Johnny Gargano wanted. So
How do
basically.
you go to a therapist and say, like, listen, it's like when like the parents send the bad teen to a therapist. She's dating a guy we don't like. So in the therapy, could you
This is
give
what
her?
this was. This was reverse therapy. The point
Yes.
was to make Austin Theory afraid, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
Which
So,
is not the way these angles go. Yeah, so
what are your
definitely
thoughts
interesting.
on this? Now we talked about Kushida possibly being next in line for the title. That obviously did not happen. Is Dexter Loomis next in line for the title?
I would think he'd have to be. Choked out Johnny Gargano. I
That's
think
what
he'd
I
have
think
to be.
too, but.
Yeah, and it's interesting they're going the comedy route here. But based on what you told me, seems like it was a funny bit, right? Seems like people are into it. Cameron Grimes, what is the latest on the Redneck Million Dollar Man?
So Cameron Grimes was throwing around $100 bills tonight. He was backstage. Apparently NXT now has gambling backstage. He was gambling
Well,
backstage.
are they stealing gimmicks from Impact?
I
They got a
guess
casino backstage over there.
that's what it was. So basically, when Regal said he was going to have a match with Bronson Reed, Grimes tried to pay off William Regal with $2,000. And then he tried to pay off Bronson Reed with $2,000, and neither of them accepted the payoff. So they had a match, which
$2,000,
Cameron.
$4,000 was spent to make this match not happen.
But it didn't work, so the match still happened. Cameron Grimes won. He won by pinfall because the LA Knight, I guess this was his official NXT kind of debut. He was on
Formerly
Take.
known as Eli Drake in Impact and NWA.
Yep. He is starting to find his spot and role in NXT. Looks very well. Grimes, it's hard to take him seriously. He did get a win tonight. I think it's important that they kind of keep him at the level that he can make look important, but he's not going to do anything. I mean, we've already said he's the R-Truth of NXT, and that's exactly what he is. And I think
Which
that's
isn't a bad
okay.
role to be in, guys. That's like not a bad role to be in.
Two
How
segments a
long
week.
has R-Truth been on this WWE run? He's been like he
Over
had the
10
initial run
years.
in like when he started in like 02, right? Came out of the independents in like 02, was there for like maybe 2 or 3 years, right? Then went to NWA, got to be the NWA World Champion, right? And did some stuff there. Then went back to WWE. Has been with WWE for like over 12 years now? Like,
He main evented a pay-per-view against John Cena. Remember
yeah,
that?
and like also, R-Truth gonna go in the Hall of Fame. R-Truth, absolutely gonna go in the Hall of Fame. Like I think he's absolutely Hall of Fame worthy for the amount of stuff he's done. Some of it bad, but like most of it like exciting. And Cameron Grimes being that for NXT is a really good long-term position to be in because they're always
He's
gonna want levity on the show.
yes, exactly. I think that's what I was going to say. It's important, and Let's talk about the main event tonight, which was an overrun. It started before 10 o'clock, though. It was like 9:55 when it started Eastern time. It ended at about 10:10. And that was Roderick Strong versus Finn Balor. Very good match, back and forth. The champion, Finn Balor, won. Roderick Strong with his old theme music back and his old attire back. So he's officially not affiliated with Undisputed Era anymore. What do you think?
The Messiah of the Backbreaker is back. The Messiah of the Backbreaker is back.
Maybe he'll be go back to being a babyface like he was before he joined.
Do you want to hear a fun, interesting story with me and Roderick Strong that I can tell very quickly, even though I'm keeping you a little bit late?
Go ahead.
It's Ring of Honor. It's the first WrestleMania weekend they ever did. So it was like when they would do the two shots where Ring of Honor started, they were the first real independent company to say, we're going to go where WrestleMania is, run the two nights before, and get a big crowd. And they did. And thankfully, I lived like in college at the time. I lived like two or three miles away from the place. So it was awesome because if I wanted to, these are like pre Ubers and everything. I could take like a pretty affordable taxi home, even in college, after drinking after a wrestling show. So we go to this place, I think it was called Mama Rosita's, that was within walking distance of the Frontier Fieldhouse where Ring of Honor was. And Roddy was on the show and he had this amazing match. He did all this great stuff. I believe they had people from Dragon Gate on the show. And I was probably a little bit more of a boisterous wrestling fan at the time. I've been having a couple of pops. I laughed at Kenta joking that he thought, as he put it, CM Punk was a asshole for stealing his finisher, which I thought was a funny thing to hear. And Kenta was just goofing when he said that. It was funny. And so you're around these wrestlers at a bar, but you're told like, don't. I was with wrestling media at the time. I was doing a show called Rumble Radio. And they were like, all right, well, if you want to grab IDs with them, you can do that. And like just one question each, not like a formal interview. And I didn't ask for that, but they told me I could. All right. So I'm just going to talk to them. And you're talking to them like while they're drinking. So it's kind of like informal. And some of them are like, we're done, you know? And I think I said there was a spot in the match. Like I'm not referencing spots like you're calling a spot in the ring. That's wrestling league. We all know that. But wrestlers definitely don't like it when you use lingo like that and you're not a wrestler. And maybe wrestlers don't like that when you do it at a bar that is super crowded and you're talking to them like you're in the locker room and you're a wrestler with them at the end of the night. So with two cranberry vodkas in his hands, Roderick Strong goes, what's a spot? Tell me what a spot is. Like when he says it to me, I immediately was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just talking about like a spot within the match, like this chunk of the match. I didn't mean to be. And he goes, no, I'm just messing with him, man. It's okay. I know. And it was his way of like letting me like, don't use that lingo if you're not a wrestler. And I felt really stupid. Like I was on a line, right? But I wasn't trying to be. But it was very, very funny. It reminded me of like Goodfellas when he's like, oh, you think I'm a clown? You think I'm a clown? Remember that? You think I'm a clown? And you think I'm here to amuse you? This is a banger match. I caught most of this flipping over from AEW Dynamite. Roddy looked really strong. He did get pinned. But he was competitive with him. And Roderick has really been a tag team wrestler for the majority of like the last year, year and a half. You know, but when NXT started on when they started the Wednesday Night Wars, he was in a prime position. I think he was North American champion at the time, or maybe he was like number two.
Yeah, right.
Remember, he main evented the first WWE NXT when it aired on a Wednesday night on USA Network.
Yeah,
I like him. Though he didn't win, he hung with Balor and really got the ball rolling on this fragmented, wild, what is going to happen with it storyline involving the Undisputed Era as a faction breaking up around Finn Balor, the NXT champion. And he doesn't know, he can't trust any of these guys. And they're all coming for him, and they all don't like each other. So where do you think this goes? We're getting Cole versus Balor next week, NXT Championship on TV. I'm pumped. I'm going to have to figure out a way to watch two screens. I'm going to have to do the two screen thing. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to watch shows both live at the same time. I don't like doing it, but I'm going to have to do it. I'm pumped for this match. I'm sold. Great finish for NXT this week.
Yeah, so next week we have that. We also have Regal's announcement, and we also have Io Shirai versus Toni Storm for the Women's Championship. So a very, very good lineup coming next week. Tonight's show also very good. A 7 for sure tonight. Good build-up next week. It should be very, very entertaining. We'll see what the announcement's going to be next week. Should be for other reasons, too, next week, if you're a WWE fan. Very interesting week. Very interesting week.
Very interesting week, because we're supposed to get, as you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, we had, we didn't put this out on the audio podcast feed, but we did do a podcast on Tuesday with our very own Tyler Treese, and I don't get to have him on there. But Tyler Treese is talking about the poor state of John Clark waiting for these WrestleMania tickets to go on sale. You have your flights, you have your hotel, you have your car rental, but you don't have WrestleMania tickets. I went to WrestleMania in New York, New Jersey 2 years ago.
So did I, but
I didn't have tickets in advance. And I got scammed out of like hundreds of dollars buying tickets day of, fake tickets, right? I worry about that scenario here with WrestleMania, but we're waiting, and it seems like sometime roughly next week is the word from Fightful
that
WrestleMania tickets will go on sale.
And also directly before NXT and AEW started tonight, WrestleVotes, who is very, very reliable, tweeted out a teaser that it would be Friday, March 12th for general public and Wednesday, March 10th, a week from today, for the pre-sale for WrestleMania tickets. So
I would assume that gets announced maybe Friday?
That's what I'm thinking too, because Friday morning they're doing their test event on, it's actually on Ticketmaster. If you go there, it says WrestleMania test event, do not purchase. It's on Friday at noon. They're going to be running tests on the back end, buying tickets, seeing if everything goes through. And then, like you said, I fully expect Friday night on SmackDown, they'll announce next week, Wednesday, pre-sale. And somehow you'll get a code, probably if you're, however they normally do that.
I mean, good on WWE and Ticketmaster. Live Nation is doing that, I presume. I assume they're the main. They tend to be the main Ticketmaster. I think this is as we mentioned, a test to see what that demand is going to be like. Do they have the infrastructure ready to go for that blast of people that are going to try and get tickets for this event? Also, challenging scenario, because you're doing this, what, like almost a month before the event? You know, almost a month?
If they do it on Friday, March 12th, it is almost exactly 1 month, because WrestleMania is the 10th and the 11th of April. So it's about 30 days from the event. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, John, I'm sorry I've kept you up extra late here and extra long. We delayed everything, but we had to get into that NXT moving to a Tuesday night scenario here. So we had to touch on it. I know I'm shaming myself already.
I don't know why. This is nothing like a Monday.
Yeah, nothing like a Monday, man. We had a long Monday too. So yeah, we're always happier to be off like 10 central for me, 11 for you. It's midnight though when you get off on Monday, so that's gonna be crazier. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. If you haven't done already, give John a follow. Follow him on the Twitter machine. I don't think enough of you follow John. I think you should. All right, go get a sweet peek at that picture of him. Hitting one into the green there. It's a quite an avatar.
You're very generous.
My father is a golfer, would be very, very jealous. How come I don't have a son who could hit the ball like that? I never played golf. My dad never got me into it. Don't have the hand eye coordination for it. I like my fake sports more. You guys can follow me on the Twitter machine at Kev Kellum. I will be back on stage March 12th at Madame Zuzu's, the coffee house owned by one NWA wrestling promoter. And oh yeah, by the way, the lead singer and guitarist of the Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan. I'll be doing that March 12th. March 19th, Valparaiso, Indiana. Two shows going down at the Market Lounge. I'm headlining, baby. I'm the headliner. I'm the main event. I'm going to do all my Yell'em Kellums. If you are in the Midwest and you're looking at doing some comedy events, Kev wants to get booked, baby. Kev wants to get booked. All right. So I haven't done this, but if you guys want to check out my website with the different things that I do, you can go to it right now. I'll put it in the chat for the first time. It is kevinkellum.com. Go to kevinkellum.com. You can see what I sound like when I'm on the radio, what I look like when I do videos, all the interviews I've done, different things like that across the media spectrum. So go check that out. If you know comedy people, let them know about me, what I'm doing. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Great week for us on the audio downloads, putting us on the charts in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, and many other countries. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. John, you're so patient with my bullshit. I appreciate it. No more. You're okay with my bullshit, but you don't want no more of that bullshit, because apparently that's a thing tonight. All right. When watching wrestling, John, even if we're going to talk about NXT and AEW, we don't have Wednesday Night War. I can't complain and fight with someone on the internet. That still means you can do this other thing with wrestling. What's that?
Enjoy every second of it.
Enjoy wrestling.